Hello, I'm Art Levine, host of the Straight Talk television show, now celebrating its 25th anniversary year on air. Over the past 25 years, we've recorded more than 500 shows and interviewed nearly 1,000 guests. As part of our 25th anniversary celebration, we have selected 25 of our most memorable shows to re-air as Straight Talk classics. This show is one of those classics. We trust you will enjoy seeing a part of Long Beach history, one of the many political leaders who have been our guest, or some of the nationally known actors, singers, and distinguished speakers who have visited us. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a Straight Talk Classic. The Straight Talk Classic series is brought to you through the generous support of SCAN, celebrating 40 years of keeping seniors healthy and independent.
Welcome back, and we're continuing our discussion with Joe Ball, partner at Carl Smith Ball and counsel to the Warren, former counsel to the Warren Commission. Mr. Ball, the legal profession today has been much in the news, a lot of discussion about abuses, not only in law, but throughout our society, the question of ethics. As you know, there's an ethics conference coming up here in Long Beach in a couple of weeks, but what is your view? You've had such a distinguished career. You're really one of the outstanding trial attorneys in America today. You've seen a lot of changes in the way law is practiced. How do you view the profession as we sit today?
Well, I see a difference in the courtesy that lawyers pay to each other. Years ago, when I started to practice law, and we would take depositions, I wouldn't think of setting a deposition unless I called opposing counsel and asked if it was convenient to his calendar. Now the lawyers seem to disregard that. They serve you with a notice taking deposition. You call up and ask for a continuance, and many times they'll say, go see the judge if you got an excuse to not to be there.
Yeah.
Furthermore, I've noticed that the attitude of young lawyers, particularly in the courtroom or in the deposition process, is not one of respect to their opponent. I hold as my ideal the action of the British court, the British bar, in which they treat each other like with the respect due from one gentleman to another. They're very courteous. They don't call each other names. They don't raise their voice in anger. But the worst part about the changes in the profession is that instead of being a service-dominated profession, in other words, where the essence is to perform services for a client and get paid as a result of it if he can, it seems to me that the money-grabbing instinct is highest today. And for example, you see lawyers advertising on television.
And you oppose lawyers advertising.
I certainly do. I think it's degrading for a lawyer to advertise. You know, there's a certain amount of misrepresentation in all advertising, even the most honest type of advertising, because of the fact that there's an inference when you advertise a product that it's the best product.
Yes.
Now, when a lawyer tells you that he's a specialist in one field of the law, well, he may be, there shouldn't be drawn an inference that he's the best for that profession. In the old days, a lawyer got his reward for the practice by doing a good job. That was his advertising.
And then word of mouth.
That's right. And it got around that he was an able lawyer. And in other words, there was a certain amount of security for the general public in that method of spreading your information.
And you told me before we went on air about how you once put a bold face listing in the telephone book, and that was over the line.
When I left the district attorney's office after a year of practice, I put my name in the Long Beach telephone book, and they sold me to putting my name in the telephone book in black letters. Well, I was called upon by the local bar association within a week of the time of the publication and told that that wasn't the way ethical lawyers practice.
My, have times have changed.
I certainly have. I was ashamed. I never would do that again.
Well, why do you think these changes have occurred? As you said, greed among
that's
ago.
Right.
Is that really the bottom line?
It's now becomes more important to make money in the law than to become a first-rate lawyer.
And I think that's true not only of law, but so many professions. It's more important to make money than make a good car. It's more important to make money than do almost anything.
You take the practice of splitting fees. Years ago, that was unethical. You'd lose your license if you advertised or split fees. The rule was that the fees paid to a lawyer were for services rendered. And therefore, a reference fee was improper because it was a burden on the client. You were always required to tell the client that the other lawyer was getting a fee. But the rule of the ethical rule was that that lawyer would only get a fee in proportion to his contribution to the service.
His actual work towards the case.
Actual work done it. Now that is not the case. Lawyers split fees all the time. And matter of fact, they advertise. There was an article in the State Bar Journal not long ago, a year or two ago, in which a group of lawyers advertised the fact that they would split fees with anybody in the state if they would refer cases to them. I don't think that's right. I think it puts an extra burden upon the client. It certainly costs more money to the client because if the two lawyers get a fee where one does all the work, then he's the only one that should be paid. The client is actually paying for two lawyers, even though he knows he is.
Do you think that we have too many lawyers?
Oh, I don't know. There are 250 lawyers, like 1,000 lawyers, I guess. Well, in the State Bar of California now, I think there are 125,000 active lawyers.
For 30 million Californians.
That's right. And then there are also a number of other lawyers admitted to the bar who don't practice. I don't know what those figures are.
Now, I understand that in China, that has a billion people, there are fewer lawyers than in L.A. County.
Well, probably that's true. And in Japan also.
Now, there are non-judicial means of resolving controversies in Japan. And by the way, your law firm has recently merged with the Hawaiian firm, the Carl Smith firm, and
that's right.
Now you have a major presence throughout the Asian
Pacific
market,
Rim, that's
Pacific
correct.
Rim, and in Mexico.
We have we're the only American law firm that's now entitled to practice law in Mexico City, though the other firms are coming in. The firms from New York are coming in there, but we are now fully qualified and have our office open. It's been open for a month now. We also have an office in Washington, D.C. We have an office in Guam and Saipan, from which we get quite a bit of Asian business. And, of course, in Honolulu, which is our office in Honolulu, to have clients from Korea, Japan, Hong Kong.
Do you think we can learn something from our Japanese friends across the ocean about resolving controversies and not suing?
I don't know. I don't want to say
that you guys out of business.
That's
here.
Right. We don't want to go too far. And this,
but do you think people sue too much? Let me.
I think there's
that
too
way.
Much litigation. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Too much litigation.
And I know increasingly arbitration is becoming more prevalent. Right. Arbitration clauses. Judges are leaving the bench to become arbitrators at
that's
at
right.
increased salaries.
And of course, with the high cost of litigation. It's wise to arbitrate. It's wise to settle rather than to litigate. Because it used to be that if you got a lawsuit that was involved $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000, we thought that it was a good lawsuit. Now most offices of any size can't afford to handle a case unless the amount involved is $50,000 or $100,000, so, maybe more for the larger law firm.
So there are a lot of nuisance suits that win money for
that's
settlements because right. it's the expense of defense is so high.
Expense of the cost of defense is outrageous.
We just have a few minutes left, Mr. Ball. Just looking at American society today, broadening our perspective for a moment, are you optimistic about the future? You mentioned greed a moment ago as one of the sources
well,
of concern.
Well, I don't know. I think that a return to the old days where the lawyer was spread his reputation around and gained other clients through hard work and worry and a successful practice is best. Whether or not they'll ever come back, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Would you encourage young men and women to become lawyers today?
I think so. I think so. There's a certain talent that makes for a good lawyer, and if some bright young man came in, I thought he had the intellectual qualities necessary to become a good lawyer, I'd advise him to take it. he might have only a 50% chance to make a success with the number of competitors he has in the profession, but nevertheless, he probably would make it.
But would you advise him, though, that the reason to become a lawyer is not just to make the money, but to be a lawyer?
That's right, to perform services of a lawyer. Be of aid to you and help to your client, and incidentally, get paid. But don't put getting paid ahead of the fact that the service is valuable to the client.
Mr. Joseph Wall, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. It's a pleasure to see you again, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be back with the remaining portion of Straight Talk, and we'll be meeting the newly crowned, lovely Miss Long Beach after these commercial messages.
Western State University College of Law, with campuses in Fullerton, Irvine, and San Diego, is the largest law school in California. In the last 25 years, we've graduated over 9,000 students. Western State has an innovative curriculum and flexible scheduling and is accredited by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges and the Committee of Bar Examiners of the State of California. Learn more by calling 714-738-1000.
In 1881, Long Beach is established as a town site, and the two-year-old John Blosser Carpet Company makes the trip from Los Angeles to install carpeting. 1927, the first talking picture premieres. The red carpet is rolled out by John Blosser Carpet Company. Today, John Blosser Carpet Company still offers the same old-fashioned quality and service that made them famous. For carpeting, tile, draperies, or hardwood floors, John Blosser Carpet Company sells and installs it all. John Blosser Carpet Company, the oldest carpet company in California.
From the McGruff Files, the Philadelphia story. In certain parts of Philadelphia, things were rough. Areas were run down, crime and drugs were out of hand, and honest folks felt like prisoners in their own homes. People decided to work with police to turn things around. Weekly meetings led to cleanup projects and folks working together. Soon, the neighbors had their neighborhood back. That's what happens when people and police work together. Write this down, and I'll show you how you can help take a bite out of crime.
Welcome back, and we're continuing this night's special Straight Talk presentation, and we're very honored to have, I guess, perhaps in her first television appearance, the newly crowned Miss Long Beach, Laura Goglian. Laura, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Art.
Congratulations on winning the pageant. A lot of very fine contestants entering it, and I was privileged to be a judge and met many of them, and doubly congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How does it feel to be the queen?
The big question.
The big one.
Yeah, it feels wonderful. It's a great feeling, not only just to achieve the goals that I've set for myself, but winning isn't so bad of a feeling either.
Right.
It's a wonderful feeling to be up there, and it's you work really hard for something, and you see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's really great to be able to get to that light.
Well, you know, Gloria Allred was our guest last week, and we talked about pageants, and you may have seen the show, and mm-hmm. She felt that they were sexist and all, but having met many of all the contestants, really, and some of them on the show, and all of them in the judging, I think she's just dead wrong on that one. You're extraordinary young ladies, and having spoken to the contestants, both the winners and those that did not win, everyone won, really. Everyone learned, everyone grew. And it can only be a positive experience.
Sure. Well, I think that's one of the main things that a lot of people who are opposed to pageants overlook is they don't really know what goes on behind the scenes. They don't really know that a lot of your score is based on personal interview. It's not all physical appearance. It's not all beauty. It's not your shape or what you look like. It's a lot of your personality. You have to be able to carry on a conversation with somebody in an intelligent manner.
And I know the Long Beach JCs that sponsor the pageant mm-hmm. Focus on that. And our first impression of the young ladies was with the personal interview, 40% of it right there. No bathing suit, no evening gown, but just sitting down like we are here. Well, not quite like this, but basically a discussion. So, well, we have a little surprise for you. We've brought a few of the pictures from that very magical evening.
Oh, wonderful.
And you can say whatever you'd like about them as we put them on the screen. I guess the moment that you were crowned has to be one of the highlights.
Oh, definitely. You're waiting for that moment at when you're the last two girls standing up there. It's really intense. It's kind of a nervous excitement.
Oh, as they eliminate down, you
as they eliminate it down,
you don't
know
if it's gonna.
You're waiting
you
for your number to be called, and when you're just the last two up there, it's the most intense feeling I've ever had to deal with.
And so then you heard that name, and
I heard the number first,
number.
It wasn't mine.
Oh.
That's all I knew. So it was right when I heard the number, it was real exciting.
Exciting moment.
Definitely.
And then of course Amber Russell, your predecessor, crowned you, and there we have that special moment, and two very happy ladies.
Definitely. that was a very happy moment.
And she was a wonderful Miss Long Beach.
Yes, she was. I think she was happy to crown me also.
There you are with your court.
Yes, first runner-up. That's Tracy Tyrell and Colleen Maloney. And there's all the contestants from the Miss Long Beach pageant.
And they're beautiful.
They all, gowns. All
they
of them
stunning,
were so
really
beautiful.
Stunning.
Everybody.
And yours, of course, was actually magnificent.
Oh, thank you.
And there are the judges. Yes.
And Art Levine, right there, is one of the judges.
Gloria Marshall, the legendary Gloria Marshall, I had the privilege of meeting, was one of the judges.
Mm. And this was something that was really interesting as far as this Miss Long Beach pageant went. They had all of the past queens and also the past Miss Welcome to Long Beach queens who showed up.
And there's
they
Marlene,
went back.
Who was on our show a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That was wonderful, seeing through time the,
sure.
the Miss Long Beaches.
It was touching.
And,
very touching.
And they're back to you for
there
one last time. And
okay.
well, you have an exciting year ahead with all kinds of public appearances scheduled and really being the embodiment of our city at so many civic and charitable functions. I guess you're excited about that challenge.
Oh, sure. That's one of the things that I was so excited about when I did win the crown is all the charitable events that I get to do and being a part of the community, of course. And the Long Beach Junior Chamber of Commerce is a wonderful organization, and they're very helpful in giving me guidelines to follow as far as, you know, where I'm going to go and who I meet. And it's a great experience. I'm looking forward to the upcoming year.
And we should offer congratulations to the pageant chair, Cheryl Duncan, and Jim Lawson, the pageant director, and the pageant producer, Carolyn Novak, and all their committee who really put on a first rate.
They outdid themselves. Yeah. They did a wonderful job.
Now, you are the current reigning Miss LA County. So do you have to trade in that crown for this one, or how does that work?
Basically my crown is going, I think they're holding the Miss LA County pageant in April
year. There's only a few
so
months.
My reign is cut short. it's not seeming to be that much of a difficult thing to deal with.
And then you will be now eligible to compete in the Miss California USA.
Yes.
And when is that?
The Miss California USA pageant is held in October, I believe, this year, the end of October. And I will be going to Miss California representing the city of Long Beach,
wonderful.
Of course.
Well, of course, needless to say, best of luck in,
thank
in
you.
That. Now, tell us a little bit about the gal behind the crown, what Laura really is does in when you're not doing pageantry activities. I know you're a student at Long Beach State, and you're interning in a network sports department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great experience in itself. I intern at NBC, and it's a wonderful experience. I get to work in the sports department. I get to work behind the scenes, which is really nice as far as writing and producing and editing the show, and then I get to see what goes on in front of the camera, and it's a great experience. That's what I want to do. I want to go into broadcasting.
You want to be in sports broadcasting?
Yes. I think we need more women in the field of sports.
Well, we do.
It's not so much male-dominated anymore as it's used to be.
That's right. And CBS has done some very good work with getting female sports broadcasts.
Sure.
And in fact, I think it's won an award last year for her work. And I think as women athletes become more prevalent in female sports, it's inevitable.
I think so, too. I think it's a great field for women to explore. Women are tending to expand their horizons as far as their career opportunities and career goals go. And I think that this is a great field for women to go into. I think more women should explore this opportunity.
And so many of your colleagues in the pageant all have fine career aspirations that often have nothing to do with their beauty and just their talent.
Well, we're all normal people. once we get up on stage, you know, it's quite a different experience when you're up on stage. You're very different than when you're off stage, relaxed. The tension isn't there. And we're all students and normal.
Just regular folks.
Normal, everyday women who have goals and you know.
What benefits did you think derive from being in a pageant towards these other non-pageant type of career goals?
Well, I think that being in pageants gives you a lot of experience as far as communicating with others. We meet a lot of people. We're faced with interviewing with the judges, since interviewing is such a major part of our overall scores. And I think that the interviewing process is great as far as interviewing for jobs once we get out of college into the work field. That definitely helps. It can't hurt.
And presenting yourself and being able to communicate is an important asset,
sure,
no matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Learning to poise and dignity of everyday life.
Yes.
Learning how to present yourself. Feeling a little bit more of self-esteem, self-confidence. Your self-confidence,
yes,
is definitely built up.
Yeah. Well, we're coming to the end of our segment, Laura. As you face your year ahead, what goes through your mind at this moment?
Oh, well, I have enough time for everything. It's definitely going to be a time-consuming year, but I plan on having a great time with it and just using it to have fun and meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, carrying on in Amber Russell's fine tradition, mm-hmm, I wish you every success. I'm sure you'll be a wonderful Miss Long Beach,
and
look forward to seeing you at future activities in the months to come.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you, too.
And again, congratulations to
you. Thank
you. Okay, we'll be back with the remaining portions of Straight Talk after we pause for these commercial messages.
The downwind course to home, like the road to success, leads to Spinnaker Bay. It's an opportunity you shouldn't miss, because Spinnaker Bay is a new detached home community in the city of Long Beach. It's also one of the last properties in Long Beach that's on the water. Not near the water, on the water.
Would you like to hear world news from where it's happening, while it's happening? You can hear firsthand reports on uprisings like those that recently happened in the Middle East. Right now, Act Electronics is having a big sale on Sony and Grundig shortwave radios. These radios receive direct broadcasts from all over the world, including the Middle East, Germany, and Latin America. So get down to Act Electronics now before the world passes you by.
I'm Umberto. At Umberto Men's Store, we provide you with personalized service and wardrobe consultations.
Umberto will help you choose from the generous selection of imported high-quality suits, sport coats, and slacks. Their tailors can service you in just a day or two. Umberto carries the finest clothing for men and women, both business and casual wear. Umberto has helped people dress for success for over a quarter of a century.
I hope you'll visit us soon. That's Umberto's, 2141 Belfar Boulevard.
Gosh, Darlene, it sure is amazing how much we have in common.
I know, Larry. We both love three-car pileups. We both were built in Buffalo.
And we both know wearing safety belts helps save thousands of lives.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Don't mind Vince. He's getting over a bad breakup.
I know. Janet's picking up the pieces, too. They're in here.
I wish they understood it's all worth it to get people to buckle up.
Hey, lacerated lovebirds, I sense a major crush.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your safety belt.
Talk about head over heels.
Welcome back, and really an extraordinary man, Joe Ball, one of the giants in the legal profession, intimate knowledge of so many of the top trial lawyers in America, and distinguished political leaders, and believes still that the Warren Commission's conclusions were correct, and nothing that he has learned since that time back in 1964 has changed his mind. The recent movie by Ali Stone, JFK, has renewed the debate. A majority of Americans, even before the movie, did not believe the conclusions of the Warren Commission, believed that others were involved, and the movie, of course, has done nothing to dissuade those who have that belief. But my own personal view is that, as Mr. Ball mentioned, evidence that had been sealed should be released. Americans should have an opportunity to view that evidence, and if necessary, a new investigation should take place. But the confidence that all of us need to feel in our government can only be reassured by the release of evidence which has not been made available. Also, we're very honored to have Miss Long Beach, Laura Goglia, as her first televised appearance. I'm sure you'll be seeing her much in the year to come. She is a charming, lovely lady, and I think will make a wonderful Miss Long Beach. So we want to thank you for watching our show, and if you have a comment, you can write to us at the P.O. Box that you'll see at the end of the credit roll. That's P.O. Box 3114. Drop us a line. Tell us anything you'd like to see or any suggestions. We appreciate your watching, and we also appreciate your patronizing our sponsors. And when you go into one of our sponsors, you might mention that you like the fact that they're supporting our show and helping us bring this show to you. So on behalf of all of our crew here at Straight Talk, we thank you for watching and invite you to join us next week for another edition of Straight Talk. Good night, everyone.
This Straight Talk Classic show has been brought to you through the generous support of SCAN, celebrating 40 years of keeping seniors healthy and independent.
Want to see the one that got away? Catch it for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch at the Fishtail, Long Beach's oldest seafood restaurant. The Fishtail's full menu of seafood, steaks, pasta, ribs, and much more is all served in a warm, friendly atmosphere reminiscent of days gone by. Plus, we have a pearl of an oyster bar to satisfy anyone's appetite. We also offer daily lunch and dinner specials 7 days a week. For great food and quenching drink, meet your friends at the Fishtail, the oldest seafood restaurant in Long Beach.
You may not think the gas you can save makes a difference, or the amount your whole neighborhood can save, or even your whole town. But when you see how much gas America can save every day, when we all drive just 5 miles per hour slower, it's easy to see how the little bit you can do makes a lot of difference. President Bush hopes you'll do your part. Drive smart.